The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15pm with Gordon Brown, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. A really good Saturday to look forward to as well, with Trials Day at Cheltenham. There's a very good card at Doncaster. We also have Jumping from Uttoxeter and All Weather Racing at Lingfield. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, thanks, Mark. You've just made that sound like a fun day ahead tomorrow.
It is. It's a great day tomorrow. I mean, Cheltenham Trials Day is always informative. It's always very exciting. The car at Doncaster would stand up on its own any other Saturday. So two really good meetings to look forward to, Craig.
It is, yes. And of course, it's the last Cheltenham fixture before the big 4 days in March. So we're looking for the final clues from the track form, Mark. Yep. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, good racing at Doncaster as well. And yeah, a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, well, we're on the subject of the Cheltenham Festival. Jack Adam was an impressive winner of the Thyestes in Ireland on Thursday, and that's made him a quote of 16-1 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Could you see him going in the big one? Well, getting involved at 16-1?
I can, Mark, yeah. You know, I definitely can. It was a really impressive performance yesterday. They went a good gallop in the early stages of the race, and the quicker they went, the better Jack Adam jumped. Mm. He was, you know, exciting to watch. The way he went through the air and jumped these fences. And, you know, that came off a mark of 145. You would think, you know, that performance is going to take him around between, you know, hazard I guess, 155 to 160. So he still needs to take another giant step forward to become a series contender for the Gold Cup. But let's not forget, this horse is only a six-year-old and he's still open to more improvement. You know, Ken thought he badly needed the run when he disappointed in the Hennessy, and he put that well behind him yesterday. That gave him time to recover from the Hennessy. It was just a fantastic performance, and you know, I think he's a big price at 16-1. You have to go back to Long Run, who was the last six-year-old to win the Gold Cup, and I think it was 1963 in Millhouse prior to that. So he's got a few trends to upset and burst for a six-year-old, but he's well capable, Mark. He is well capable, and he's an exciting horse, and I think he's a big player in the Gold Cup.
Good, yeah. So Jack Adam could be a big player then at 16-1. Just a bit of other news before we move on to Saturday's action. Talk of the July Cup moving back to midweek, Craig. What would you make of that?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like these festivals midweek. It's a shame when so many got moved to the weekends, like the Ebor, etc. I do like the big summer midweek fixtures, Mark.
Yeah, it's his traditional home anyway, isn't it, midweek? When they moved it to the Saturday for the last, is it 4 years now? It's been a bit contentious, really, hasn't it? It's been a sore point for some people.
It has, yeah. And, you know, you look at the Ebor fixture, you know, the busier days still remain the midweek days.
Yeah.
The actual Saturday of the Ebor is probably the quietest of the 4 days of that festival now. So, you know, I think I'm a traditionalist. I like the old ways. I find it hard to move forward and adjust, Mark. Must be a sign of age. But I think it's exciting that the July Cup will go back to a midweek day.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on that. Anything else in the news, Craig, before I move on to what is a superb Saturday?
No, I had a lot of time to check the news, in all honesty, Mark. It's been head in form books and trying to find a few winners. There's been a lot of Northern Racing on this week, so I've been bypassing what's been showing up in the headlines, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll move on to the important stuff anyway. Let's get those winners off you, Craig, and we'll get your thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, with good racing at both Cheltenham and Doncaster. We're going to take a look at both meetings. Craig's got three races for us at Cheltenham on trials day, and the big race at Doncaster as well. So we'll start with the action at Cheltenham. The 150 is the first race we're going to look at there. That's the Betbright Cup, or the Argento as it used to be known, a Grade 2 over 3 miles and one furlong. We do have betting on site as well. Dynast 2-1 at the top of that market. Many Clouds 11-4. Smad Place 100-30. 6-1 for the Giant Bolster. Black Thunder is 8s and 16-1 for Theatre Guide. A good race this, Craig, despite only having six runners in there. Who would you side with?
Yeah, this is a good race, Mark. I think Smart Place has got to be of interest. I know you're very keen on, yes, on his chances for Alan King. You know, but you look back, although this is a Gold Cup trial, you know, not many horses have actually used this race as, you know, serious Gold Cup contenders. But there seems to be a few horses that, you know, could go well in this race on Saturday, Mark, that, you know, could take a giant stride towards a good performance in the Gold Cup. Younger horses, such a Smart Place. We've got the Hennessy winner, Many Clouds, and Dynast, who's in here. You know, they're all horses still capable of playing a big hand in the Gold Cup. So it will be an interesting race. But, you know, I think, you know, Many Clouds probably peaked when winning the Hennessy for me. He is still improving and going forward. That came off a mark of 1.51. Handicap, I put him up 10, so, you know, I think he deserves his chance in graded company now, and he should go well. But I think Smart Place is possibly the classier of those two horses, and he was another horse that, you know, looked in need of the run at Newbury on his comeback, and he wasn't entirely disgraced in finishing fifth on that occasion. I think he can take a step forward, and he could be the one to beat in this. But a good race, as you're saying. Of course, we've got last year's winner, the Giant Bolster, lining up again. Mm. He's, you know, this is his Gold Cup, if you like. You know, he will be all out to try and retain his trophy here. So, yeah, it should be a good race. But I think Smart Place is the one to beat. Dynast's the interesting one, because I think this race will tell the Pipes, you know, where he goes in 6-7 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Because he was staying on at the end of the King George. And if he's going to be a serious Gold Cup contender, you would think he would need to win this race. But if his stamina comes up short, then obviously he's going to go back to the race he won last year in the Ryanair. So it's an interesting race for all sorts of different reasons. But in terms of trying to nail the winner, that would be Smart Place for me.
Yeah, I agree with that, Craig. Alan King did mention that he maybe asked a bit much of Smart Place to win the Hennessy. Well, to try and win the Hennessy. Without a prep run, it was testing conditions. He got quite a lot of weight in the race as well. This time, he receives weight from the whole field. He'll come on for that run. I think he's got a good chance.
Yeah, we know he handles the course, Mark. He was, you know, a good second in an RSA to O'Fanlon's boy. So there's absolutely no fears with the course or the ground conditions. He jumps well. Yeah, he's a smart horse, and you know he's got a big chance to win this race. Where, you know, Many Clouds needs to take his performances from Carlisle and Newbury and put it all in here at Cheltenham. It's a totally different ball game. He, of course, was brought down in the RSA last year. So, you know, we don't know how he would have matched up alongside Smart Place on that occasion. But interesting. But it's Alan King runner for me.
Mm. The 225 at Cheltenham is the next race we look at. This is a Grade 3 handicap over 2 miles and five furlongs. We have 10 of them in the lineup for this one, Craig. One of the more open races on the card. What would you like there?
I like a horse that finished second in this race last year. they recorded an absolute amazing speed figure, Mark, in this race last year. And the time of the race compared to the other races on the card that day was phenomenal. I thought it was rock-solid form. I followed that form over a cliff, in all honesty, with Indian Castle and Ohio Gold. And it hasn't worked out too well. It's fair to say I'm a little bit out of pocket from following that form. But I think Anacotti has got to be worth another chance in this race. You know, was a good second last year off exactly the same mark of 1.44. Came up a little short behind O'Fanlon's boy in the RSA. But ran well on his return at Kempton behind Fox O'Peel. You know, that looked a race that was going to be used as a prep for the Hennessy, but unfortunately disappointed in the Hennessy itself. So I think he's worth another chance because he's on the same mark as he was on 12 months ago. And to be honest, you know, I think this is a slightly weaker race this time around than it was last year. Mm. So Anacotti has an excellent chance for Martin Keeley.
Yeah, they put the cheek piece on for the first time as well, which could bring about a little bit more. He seemed to respond well to the blinkers when they first went on, so maybe the change of headgear will spark him up a little bit as well.
Yeah, definitely, Mark. You know, you did definitely run a little flat in the Hennessy at Newbury last time, so any aid that can just revive his old spark, he has to go close because he is well handicapped. You know, he's got a couple of performances under his belt that suggests he's well up to winning off a mark of 144. And let's not forget, he's still only seven. So he still has a lot of time on his side. And he comes up against, you know, a lot of exposed horses. The top two in the weights are both 11-year-olds, walk-ons, a 10-year-old that certainly doesn't look to be going forward now. Mm. Easter Meteor is well handicapped for the pipes, but again, you know, he's had jumping problems, and I think probably his best days is behind him. There's absolutely no doubt the pipes will find the race from this mark, but at the moment, he wouldn't be on the shortlist. Easter Day, I think, is due to run up at Doncaster. He's just got a second entry here. So on target for Colin Tizard, he's one that performs his best at shorter trips. You know, trips of around 2 mile is his optimum. Little John's a nice horse. I like Little John. I've seen him in the flesh at Cheltenham when he finished behind Dunraven Storm. You know, there's races in him from 140, but I think this is just asking a little too much. Then we've got the veteran, Big Fella Thanks, who's now 13, and Tap Knight, who is another extremely well handicapped horse, but it's a long time since we've seen this horse produce his best.
Okay.
So Anacotti sticks out to you, Mark.
Yep. Anacotti then in that race. The next race we look at is the 3:35 at Cheltenham, which is the Cleve Hurdle, a Grade 2 contest over 3 miles. We do have betting on site for this one as well. And Safed Arur is the 13-8 market leader. 9-4 for Entemps Poor 2. Cole Harden 4-1. 11-2 for Reverend Civiller. The Druid's Nephew is 20s and 25-1 for Alofi. Interesting, isn't he, Safed Arur, now that they're keeping him over hurdles or they're sending him back over hurdles. Do you see him winning this?
He's got a big chance, Mark. You know, I think he's the one they all have to beat. You know, myself and Sean touched on the stairs hurdle for Cheltenham in 7 weeks' time. And if you take more of that out of it,
yeah,
it's wide open. Mm. But let's not forget, more of that isn't a solid favourite. Yes, he had a very good winner in the race last year, but he had a fantastic preparation last year. You know, he progressed all season into the world hurdle. You know, he's had one run this year and he's disappointed. There's been, you know, talking points over his breathing and whether he's had an operation or not. I think it's a wide open race, and you can see why Paul Nicholls has dropped his Sapphire Derby back to hurdles, because he could be a big player in the world hurdle itself. And his last run over Timber came at Force Last when he just held on to beat Whisper in the Welsh champion hurdle. But I don't think there's any problem stamina-wise. I think he'll get the trip no problem, and he'll take all the beating. Dangers are likely to come from Cole Harden, who we know stays well, but you know, was some way behind on Thames Poor Tooth when we last seen that rival in this country at Ascot. But he still needs to prove his stamina. I was having a look at his pedigree. He wouldn't be a guaranteed stayer, the pipe runner, at 3 miles. So I think Cole Harden could be the biggest danger to Sapphire Derur.
Okay. Cole Harden, we've seen him run pretty well, actually, this season, hasn't he? He's
improved.
He's improved no end. I mean, getting the win at Wetherby. Since then, he ran with a lot of credit at the likes of Newbury and Cheltenham.
Yeah, the trip was too short last time at Cheltenham, Mark. I think stepping back up to this trip, the only negative towards his chances is Warren Greatrick's runners since the Christmas period.
Yeah.
The form has tailed off a little bit. He's had 3 well-fancied horses beat and numerous other ones that haven't hit the frame. So that would be the concern with him. So I think, you know, I think Sapphire Derur is definitely the one to beat. He's guaranteed to stay the trip. I know he fell last time we seen him over fences, but prior to that, he'd been in very good form. He beat Horizontal Speed, who subsequently won a chase after that. So his form stacks up well. He's won 1.65 rated hurdler. He's a worthy favourite and the one they all have to beat.
Okay. Just popping up to Doncaster for their 3:15 before we go. The Skybet Chase is the feature race on their card. It was the Great Yorkshire Chase. It's a listed handicap over 3 miles. The market headed by Easter Day, who's 9-2, 11-2 for If in Doubt, Royal Player 8s, Medami is 9-1, 10s for Knight in Milan, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who'd you like there, Craig?
A lot of exposed runners, Mark. What I was doing just before we came on air was having a look through to see the previous record of novices in this race. And you know, there's been a novice hasn't won it, but there hasn't been too many that have tried their luck in the race.
Yeah.
Because there's so many exposed runners, I think I'm going to go with a novice here, and if in doubt, for Philip Hobbs.
Okay.
He's been brought along under the radar. He started off at Exit La Chase, where he unseated his rider, and then produced a reasonable display behind Alan King's Seagull Success, who's, you know, since went on to frank that form. And let's be honest, if in doubt, didn't have a hard race that day, and, you know, he's improving, and he jumped much better at Catrick when he was an easy winner last time. I think he's well handicapped off 139. You know, this time last year he was chasing home Fingal Bay in a per times qualifier at Exeter. So his hurdle form stacks up well, and he's only £4 higher, and Michael Nolan takes three off his back, so he's effectively runs off 136 here. I think he could be extremely well handicapped, and I'm going to go with a novice here. And if in doubt,
AP McCoy on if in doubt.
AP, oh, right, it's a jockey change.
Yeah,
from,
he's gone up there to
he's
right.
He's gone up, oh, sorry, yeah. We've got AP, well, I think that's better than the £3 allowance then, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, good, yeah, and you'll be able to hear AP McCoy's thoughts on him tomorrow, because Alex Dunn will be speaking to him ahead of racing. We'll get his thoughts on both Cheltenham and Doncaster, but the fact that AP's going up to Doncaster rather than staying at Cheltenham, that could be a bit of a sign.
Significant, yeah. Significant, because we just touched on a horse that, you know, in those silks for Lucinda Russell, that, you know,
Tap Night, yeah.
Tap Night, that she sent to Cheltenham, and very interesting that McCoy heads north to Donny. And, you know, I think he's... Did I hear Niall on one of the interviews saying, I think he's flying out of Leeds Airport on Saturday night across the Leopardstown.
Yeah.
So that could have played a little part in it as well. Yeah, but let's not complain. We've got AP McCoy on our side here.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much, Craig. Should be a great day. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:15 PM. Gordon Brown, John Budden and James Millman will be the team in the studio. Cheltenham Trials Day. Good racing at Doncaster. We have jumping from Uttoxeter and all of the action at Lingfield. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.